Support for IPR and this podcast comes from the IMT Des Moines Marathon, October 19th and 20th, with 6 race events including the full and half marathons, marathon relay, 5K, and more. Register at DesMoinesMarathon.com.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Coming up later this hour, we'll meet a surprising chainsaw artist. But first, when was the last time you read a physical book? For some college students, it's been since middle school. Last semester, Michael Bougea, Distinguished Professor of Liberal Arts and Sciences at Iowa State University, offered his students extra credit if they would read a physical book and share their thoughts about the experience. He is with us today to talk about the assignment and what he learned from it. Hello, Michael.
Hey, Charity. It's good to hear your voice.
Yeah.
Be back again.
Lovely to talk to you. So tell me, first of all, what class was this in?
This is in 2 classes beginning in the fall and spring in technology and social change. It's open to all majors, not just journalism and mass communication.
And what was the extra credit assignment? How did you frame it?
You know, I wanted to do a book review, but it occurred to me, because it's technology and social change, that it was not going to be a good assignment for them to read a philosophy of technology book as an ebook, because their smartphones will be pinging and interrupting them. So I decided, okay, look, let's read a print book. I'll give you 25 extra credit points. All you have to do is bring the book to class so that I can see it and record it, and then write me a short email about the experience. But I never suspected the revolutionary responses that I got on how much these two classes, and I replicated the assignment in the spring, and they thoroughly enjoyed reading a print book. They had a sense of relaxation, an increased focus. They actually began to look at their cell phone in an entirely different way. Some people said they gave it to a friend to hold the cell phone hostage because of all the interruptions. And it just really reinforced the some of the educational issues that many of my colleagues at Iowa State have been dealing with concerning lack of focus.
Where did you get the idea for this assignment? What was your inspiration?
Well, my inspiration was basically understanding Facebook and social media. And I think I've been on the show talking about Facebook in the past. And all the notifications that come up have increased noticeably. Not only Facebook, but many of the social media apps. For instance, one of the worst in terms of focus is Snapchat. Because when a text comes up on Snapchat and you read it, it then disappears. So the students have this sense that if they're not continuously on Snapchat, they're going to miss a text that's going to disappear. So I just wanted them to focus on philosophy. Some of the books assigned were like Man's Search for Meaning by the neurosurgeon and Holocaust survivor Viktor Frankl. I mean, these are deep books, you know, and you can't read an ebook on a cell phone.
Well,
about that, with topics
okay.
that dense.
I was going to say.
With topic
you,
that dense.
You can try.
You can try.
And the students, when you suggested that they read a physical book and started talking to them about when the last time was that they had actually done that, what did you find?
Well, this is a bit disturbing. Many had not read a physical book since middle school. And I know we have a librarian coming up in middle school. That was disturbing. The other disturbing part of it was that many of the students would look at ebooks, but would stop reading because of the notifications. But also, they had a sense that the book would never end. It was one big, long website post. And this prevented them from getting engaged with the work. And as we say in the articles for the Chronicle of Higher Education, and even on my blog, interpersonal-divide.org, the book is the ultimate firewalled medium. In fact, one of the students, and you know, Charity, I just have to say this morning, I stopped in my office before I came, and I'm getting thank you cards from students who took the class in the fall, thanking me for reintroducing them to the love of books. So this may sound like a kind of novel, maybe trendy type of report, but it's a very serious topic.
I want to bring one of your students into the conversation now. Jessen Gray Ashley is here with us, and he just graduated from Iowa State this spring. Hello, Jessen.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for being here, and congratulations on graduating.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
So, first of all, tell me how long it had been since you had read a physical book.
Since I actually read a book and took in what I was reading, not just doing it for a report or for a class, I'd say it was probably eighth or ninth grade when I actually sat down for the enjoyment and the enthusiasm of me actually reading was probably Matilda. As funny as that sounds, I recall reading that book in eighth or ninth grade when I literally sat down. I went to the library. I checked it out because I wanted to. I'd seen the movie and watched, and I read the whole book. So it's been a while for me.
Right. And, of course, getting this assignment, you were going to be reading a nonfiction book, which is different from reading for pleasure, reading fiction. What book did you choose?
I chose The Big Switch by Nicholas Carr.
And you sat down with this book. Tell me what it was like, because obviously you weren't just sitting down to read. You were thinking about the act of reading. What did you notice about yourself as you were reading this book?
The first hour I sat down and tried to read the book, I think I checked my phone probably 45 times. It got so bad, like the professor said, I ended up giving my phone, turning it off, putting it away. I gave my phone to one of my friends, like, here, hold this. And what I found was, and this is kind of sad to say, but even when I gave my phone to a friend, I have an Apple Watch. And I had that on. And so I would still get a notification. So I'd catch myself looking at my watch all the time. And then when I took my watch off, making myself finish the books, I got to get this watch off, take it off, got all my excuses out of the room, I still would feel my watch vibrating on my wrist.
Like a phantom limb.
No one, exactly. I was having phantom vibrations on my wrist, and I've actually took my Apple Watch off for a week and a half now, and it hasn't been for the last recent probably 3 days where I haven't been having phantom vibrations on my wrist.
Oh, fascinating. So once you got rid of the distractions and actually engaged with the book, what did you take away from the experience?
You know, you kind of find your love for reading again. I find myself now looking for other books, putting my phone down more and trying to focus on putting my phone down more. I've been actually monitoring on my phone, like my usage on it. The iPhone shows you on there, has a feature where it shows you, oh, your screen time is this. So I've been trying to every week make sure that number is less than it was the week before. And it just really made me fall back in love with books.
Have you read something since then that has been kind of a peak experience?
You know what? It's kind of funny to say. I'm actually reading the book Matilda with my daughter. So I'm reading it to her because that was a movie that she loved when she saw it with me. And now that I'm able to, she's 10, so I'm able to actually read it. And she's actually really enjoying it because she remembers the movie. She knows she has like a reference point with it. And I also think that helps her know that the book will end. Like the professor said, when you know that it's coming, that there will be an end eventually, it makes it more enjoyable because you know, this isn't going to go on forever. But also on the flip side of it, you almost want the book to continue to go if you're really enjoying it. So it's kind of a catch-22, but I'm really enjoying reliving the experience reading it with her, like I did when I read it myself the first time.
Well, Jessen, thank you so much for sharing your experience with us today.
Thank you very much, Frank.
It's good to hear your voice, Jessen. I wish you the best of luck this summer. You were a terrific student and a good friend.
I appreciate it, sir. We will talk soon.
Jessen Gray Ashley, who just graduated from Iowa State University with a Bachelor in Communication Studies. So, of course, Jessen's just one of the students that had this experience and maybe reignited his love of physical books. What do you hope the students take away from this experience, Michael?
Well, I think, as you heard from Jessen, they started to notice what we talk about a lot in tech and social change, and that is the insistent pinging of the cell phone. The cell phone is its own world. In all that, it is technology that surveils us and sells to us simultaneously through various apps and GPS satellite positioning and all that. I wanted them to understand that the cell phone was interrupting their focus. And I want to tell you something else about this experiment. And I think the Center for Learning and Teaching at Iowa State is going to recommend reading print books, maybe for extra credit. I don't know. Sarah Marchetti is looking into it. But our students had focus. They became the authority on their book topic through the rest of the class. The evaluations were phenomenal, 4.9 out of 5.0 in a large section class. But I don't believe it was I that was do this type of evaluation. I think that many of the students learned so much more than the class merely by reading that book. And I'll tell you something else that happened. We gave the first book review assignment about just before the midterms. And then I gave a paper assignment at the end of the class. The paper was a larger work, 5 to 10 pages. And what was very interesting to me is the references in the paper assignment were mostly print books. So the question that you ask is very astute, but very important. It established a new method of focus and education for those particular students.
You're not saying that students shouldn't be engaging with ebooks and looking for sources online, are you?
I am.
You are.
And this is a dangerous topic. I want to talk to you about this because I want to show how the discussion evolved in both of my classes. In both of my classes, there were these terrible MAX 8 airline crashes. And before that, there were 4 U.S. Navy ship crashes, costing the lives of 17 sailors in 2017, I believe. And as we looked into the seriousness of these national news stories, we found that MAX 8 pilots were asked to do training on iPads, and Navy pilots were given 21 CDs and said, study online.
Well, let's pick up that thread in just a moment. This hour, we're talking about our relationship with physical books. With me, Michael Bourget, a distinguished professor of liberal arts and sciences at Iowa State University. We'll continue in a moment. This is Talk of Iowa. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll meet a chainsaw artist, someone who never dreamed she would become a chainsaw artist, but here she is. Right now, we're talking about our physical relationship with books. And with me is Michael Bourget. He's a distinguished professor of liberal arts and sciences at Iowa State University and author of Interpersonal Divide in the Age of the Machine and Living Media Ethics. And over the last 2 semesters, he assigned his students an extra credit assignment. He asked them to read a physical book. Many of them had not picked up a physical book since they were in middle school, and then share their experiences. And Michael, just before the break, I asked you if you were actually recommending that students not engage with online books or ebooks, online sources of information like that. And you said that you are. And to sum up, you were talking about the kind of training that pilots of airplanes and naval ships were doing in advance of really horrific accidents. So you think that maybe the training engaging with these online sources or computerized sources interfered with their training?
Well, let's put all this into perspective. If you want to read an ebook, yes, read an ebook for enjoyment. But if you're a student and you're going to be graded on an assignment, read a print book. So I want to qualify it that way. But I also want to tell you that the discussion in the classroom brought up the students brought up the fact that they had investigated that MAX 8 pilots were given online training via an iPad, and that another student found out that navigation of Navy ships was being done online too. And they themselves made the connection, if I was this distracted trying to do a book report on my cell phone, I can only imagine how those pilots and navigators were doing the same thing, perhaps on devices with all those notifications and pings. That's the kind of critical thinking that I had little to do with. But the students themselves were extrapolating their experience and adding to it. And you can actually go to Google and you can find it on CNN. These are actually NPR had quite a long interview on navigation of ships and the 21 CDs that people were given. It's just a sign of our times. If you want focus, put away the technology. Read a book. Get immersed in that. And a word to parents. Okay, one of my students wrote to me that she was so engrossed with the book that she shut off her cell phone. And a mom called up because she wasn't answering her texts. You know, I was afraid that this was going to lead to a welfare check. So it's not only the students who are being distracted. It's the continuous texts by family members, friends, apps, and all the other distractions. And speaking of distractions, to make this point even more, you know my work in interpersonal divide, and I just did a few papers. Our collective focus in the United States, our attention span, you can look this up on a Microsoft study in 2017, is now less than a goldfish, 8 seconds of attention span that we have. And that, for the first time, we fell below the attention span of a goldfish. Now, that may sound like sensational news, but you can find these studies. Our attention spans are so short that it's impossible to get engrossed in a topic like the philosophy of technology and still understand it with all those distractions.
Well, you are paddling your canoe against the current there, Michael. I mean, I think about my children and they're going through school. They're being handed Chromebooks, and most of their textbooks are online. I mean, this is a trend that is very much in motion. I want to bring somebody who works with middle school students into the conversation now. Katie Kaufman is president of the Iowa Association of School Librarians, a teacher librarian at Southview Middle School in Ankeny. Hello, Katie.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you so much for being here. And I'm curious about, I know you're working with students when they still, for the most part, are laying their hands on physical copies of books, at least in some sense. What was your reaction when you read Michael's editorial about this process?
A couple of things. I think he's right on the money as far as the hard copy. I mean, we see study after study that shows that that there's a cognitive overhead when you are reading, and it's how the brain, how many jumps it takes for the brain to process information. And when you read online, it's exactly as he said, there are no landmarks. There's no physical landmarks. When you read on a book, studies show that people will remember if they have to recall something, oh, that happened about halfway into the book on the bottom left-hand side of the page. So the actual physical features of the book aid in comprehension, and sequencing is the most important. The sequencing of events is encouraged with hard copy books, and it's almost lost with online books. That's not to say that there aren't ways to gain that back, but the technology has raced so far ahead that we haven't taught students how to read online, and it's a very different process than reading with a book. And when we just give students online books and online resources and we don't teach them that, they've been on their cell phones up to 6 hours a day in some studies. And they've had these cell phones and devices at earlier and earlier ages. But the average for like 13 to 18 year olds is about 6 hours of screen time with their phone and 126 notifications for adults a day. So that little microcosm, that skimming and scanning that they do, that scrolling that they do, those are the skills that they're bringing to online reading, and those aren't the skills that are going to help them.
You, of course, there are e-readers designed.
Oh, yes.
To act like books and help you keep your place. You know, I have a Kindle at home and it has a bar on the bottom that tells me what my progress is. Like I'm 22% of the way through a book, something that gives you more of a physical idea of the presence. Do you feel like engagement is better with something designed to be a little more book-like than the Chromebook or the phone?
Oh, yes. But I will say this. I was reading a book, a Stephen King book, several years ago, and I didn't know how long it was. I picked it on my Kindle, and I was reading, and I got to about 40%, and I thought, oh, my word, this is taking forever. I'm slowing. And it was a great book, and it was a wonderful read, and I got through it. And it wasn't until I got back to my library and I got the hard copy, and I saw it was almost 1,500 pages. So my approach would have been different, and it was not nearly my reaction when I saw the physical book versus to my experience going through with the Kindle. I think I would have remembered more, and I mean, it's easier to bring your Kindle around with you, you know, tuck it in your bag, but the book would have made a difference in my reading experience.
Interesting. And of course, your job is to get kids engaged with books.
Tell me what
your impression is of this generation of students. Is it more difficult to get them to read?
Well, I think it's the climate and the culture of the school and the classroom. We have a climate and culture here that we expect a student to have a hard copy free reading book with them at all times. But what I have noticed is even without that culture, our students want hard copy books. I have curated an online resource of online books of over 2,000 books, and that's not including databases and audiobooks. And I can't get students to check them out. They want the hard copies. So at our level, I'm an 8-9 building, 8th grade and 9th grade. Our students are reading, but it's because that's what we expect them to do. We expect them to have a book with them so that if they finish, do we win the war against the Chromebook all the time? No, but at least that expectation is there and that encouragement is there and discussions are occurring. And I think that's the key is you have to build the culture. You have to build the climate.
Now, with middle schoolers, of course, they are carrying these devices around with them all the time, their Chromebook or whatever device the school may have issued to them. They're also carrying around their cell phones, whether they're supposed to be or not. What do we know about how difficult it is for students to switch their attention from these devices to the studying that they're supposed to do?
Well, Doctor, I was reading an article several weeks ago, and it was by a Dr. Rosenberg, and he was studying this very thing. Now, it's at the early stages. You know, studies are just being done to see what specifically cell phone use is doing to the adolescent brain. And he looked at MRI images of the brains of students who had what they call internet addictions, because it's a real thing. They can't put. I had a student who couldn't take his phone out of his hand. I was helping with a problem on a Chromebook, and he couldn't put that cell phone down. It became an issue. I let it go, but I would imagine he would be somebody who struggled with that. And Dr. Rosenberg found that in these images, the brain looks like it's addicted to drugs. That when students become hooked on the internet, on their phones or tablets, he even said it looks like a brain hooked on heroin. He did say that after a digital fast, so to speak, where you take away that technology, that the brain activity returns, but it's the executive function. And I found it very interesting that Dr. Bouget was talking about that study with the pilot, because it sounds very similar to this, that the executive function shut down when the student was on the phone book or on his phone. And then even if the phone is nearby, if it's upside down or if it's in the pocket, the brain doesn't release. It takes 15 minutes for the brain to release from that phone and to get the executive function back.
Interesting. We're talking about our relationship with physical books right now. You're welcome to join the conversation. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. You can tweet us at Iowa Public Radio or email talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. With me, Katie Kaufman, president of the Iowa Association of School Librarians and a teacher librarian at Southfield Middle School in Ankeny, and Michael Bouget, a distinguished professor of liberal arts and sciences at Iowa State University. And we have this email from Doug. He says, I've got 2,000 plus hours of flight time in my own aircraft. The guest is 100% correct in that online training is inherently dangerous. Distraction is the enemy to information absorption. And It is interesting, Michael. Of course, when you're looking at how we use technology in training, even in the videos that we're supposed to watch for the kinds of, you know, different kinds of training, whether that's how to behave in a workplace or something like that, I find that we're coming up with technology to limit distractions. So we're using the technology to combat the technology that is distracting us. Do you feel like we're making progress in that?
You know, it's so different. It's so difficult to address. Charity, you were educated in a literary era, as was I and Katie. So we understand things that maybe the millennials and Generation Z do not, because they were reared in a technological environment. Now, in my classes, about online training, particularly sexual harassment online training, I found when that was done in front of a faculty meeting, and the questions and the, in other words, online can be a good preparation, for instance, for sexual harassment training. And then it should be followed up with somebody from the Office of Equity talking about asking questions and following up in an interpersonal manner. But we find this not only in sexual harassment training, but in training of just about everything, because it's not that it's not about distraction. It's about cheapness. It's cheap to put something online rather than investing. But most of the important issues of our day need interpersonal reaction and interpersonal interaction. And you know, I've been on this since the late 1990s. And you said that a little earlier, Charity, you said I'm kind of out there with reading physical books. I was out there with Facebook in 2006. Now the difference between 2006 and today is that everybody is acknowledging what I call digital attention deficit disorder. My student, if you take a look at their comments, and you can find the comments on interpersonal-divide.org, you can see this whole, all the data sets, you will see that they could not put down their cell phones. They may not have been as addicted as Katie was talking about in this study, but I know they were not absorbing the information as they should to answer some very difficult life questions. But again, the learning experience in this class was phenomenal. It had little to do with me. It had to do with the focus of these students on the cell phone that was their second self, and they extrapolated things in the news. And as the listener pointed out, distraction and online training, when you're flying a plane or navigating a ship, is a critical problem. And we need to address this in an older method where interpersonal interaction with ensigns and captains and so forth take precedence over the inexpensive online training that's fraught with distraction from all the other apps that we have on our devices.
We have this tweet from Dawn. She says, as an MBA student, I used an audiobook for class for the first time this spring. I will never do that again. I need to read to learn. Happy to listen to a book for fun. But, you know, we all have different learning styles, and there are some people that works extremely well for. Katie, when you're working with students, you need to adjust to how they learn, right?
Oh, absolutely. You differentiate product, you differentiate process. I like to say you become all things to all people, especially if you're a teacher librarian. You meet the needs of what that individual student has and how they need it.
We also have this comment from Terry. She says, I love real books, but I read online a lot because my eyes are bad. Backlight helps my old eyes. And, you know, I think that when Terry's making this comment, it's also about motivation as well. If students have a hard time engaging in an ebook, then they're not going to read an ebook. But if you're super motivated to read that ebook, you're going to get something out of it, right, Katie?
Absolutely. I'm not I'm not saying don't read ebooks. I would never say that. I'm a big Kindle person. I have my Kindle with me all the time. I will read if I'm waiting in line at McDonald's. I will read if I'm waiting to get my car fixed. And I use my Kindle for that. And I have a lot of books on my Kindle. And I have read a lot. And I remember, but I'm a good reader. So if a student, if that's how they like to read, but I would say this, I don't know that if I were doing a paper for a course, I don't know that I would look at a Kindle book unless I was needing to skim and scan and get some key points where I could highlight my notes and have them printed out, and then I could interact with them that way. I think we need to teach the tool and not just hand it over.
We are out of time, but thank you both so much for being part of this conversation.
Thank you, Charity. Thank you, Katie.
Yes, it was nice talking with you all.
I was talking with Michael Bouget, a distinguished professor of liberal arts and sciences at Iowa State University, and Katie Kaufman, president of the Iowa Association of School Librarians. We were talking about our relationship with physical books. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio.